We're looking at a phrase in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. We understand and know, dear soul, that God the Holy Spirit had greatly encircled and encompassed Timothy with some very godly people. His grandmother, his mother, the Apostle Paul, others around him that were a blessing to him. But now it came time for him, like we looked at the spirit of Elisha, to get back across the Jordan by himself. And dear soul, you're going to have to walk with God by yourself. Not by yourself, alone without help, but you're going to have to honor God by your personal faith. For without your personal faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're going to have to be in a situation that seems impossible, and it is. I guarantee it'll be improbable for you to get out of it. And it will give you an opportunity to prove what kind of faith you have. Do you still look through a glass darkly, or do you now look to him face to face? I remember the first time that, one of the first times that I said, Lord, I'm not going to go to the preacher. I'm not going to call my favorite brother that he and I talk together. And we have encouraged one another, iron sharpeneth iron. I'm not going to go to any member of my family. I'm going to tell this to you only. And I'm going to wait and see that if you will take care of this for me. And that is just by faith. Now, you do that, you're going to have to retrain your brain. You're going to have to fight off the demons that are going to be on you like the flies were on the sacrifices in the tabernacle of the temple. You're going to constantly be terrified and alarmed, and you're going to have to establish yourself in confidence and faith with the Lord. And there's a verse that will help you, but it's just a verse to memorize and to say and to quote unless it actually has become the promise of the person of God to the person of you. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Now, if you think that's easy, you try it. Because you're going to have all kinds of understandings. Well, I understand that this may not happen. It may not. I understand that it may not happen by the way I think it's going to happen. Right. I'm not going to do like Israel did and go back down to Egypt and depend on Pharaoh's armies to come and help me with these Assyrians. You do that, you're stuck with the Egyptians again. You're going to have to learn, you personally, alone, to walk with God personally, just him, and you and him walk together. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. You come unto me personally, you personally, come unto me personally, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Have you ventured out to trust God? I'm glad you got godly parents. I'm glad you got godly grandmother or granddaddy or godly saints of God around you. I'm glad you got a godly minister or whatever. But dear friend, godly is going to be hindered one of these days, and you're not going to be able to either get to them or they're not going to be able to get to you, and you're going to have to be cast on not the godly, but the God. of your salvation, the God of your faith. Who is the author and finisher of your faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. Yep. He's the author. He's the one that began it. He's the one that gave it to you. It's a gift. And he's the one that will finish it out so that you don't have to stand shamefaced in front of the prophets of Jericho as they look at you and you all you're doing with the mantle is getting it wet. But you'll be able to get back across and they'll say, that fella has got the Spirit of God in him or her. Dear soul, you will not be able to get to heaven without you personally trusting in God personally. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. What kind of rest is it that requires a yoke? Isn't a yoke an implement of work? Yes. You're going to have to be able to endure afflictions, and you're going to have to be able to deal with and handle your Jordan River yourself with God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you all the way, even to the ends of the world. Do you believe God? This just comes down to that. Do you believe God? 2 Peter chapter 3. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. I'm writing to my dear beloved saints of God. Why are you writing the second letter, the second epistle to us, Peter? In both, the first one and the second one, which I stir up, isn't that our lesson today? Stir up the gift of God that is within thee. Yes, 2 Timothy 1:6. So what is Peter saying? This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the company of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Dear soul, we've got thousands of years, not just 2,000, but we've got 4,000 years before that of Bible instruction, Bible revelation, of testimonies of great men of God and great women of God who trusted God and believed them. Did you think it was easy for Esther to go in before the king knowing that if he don't lower his scepter to her, they'll kill her for daring to come in before the king? And all she had going for us was her uncle Mordecai said, who knows but what thou art come to the kingdom at such a time as this? And do you think you're going to get deliverance any more than anybody else if you don't do this? And all the saints of God were praying for him. So, but the saints of God can't go in. Mordecai can't go in. He can't even get into the palace, much less go into the king's chamber or his throne room. It's up to her. And dear soul, it's going to come all the way down to one day. It's going to be you having to stand at the Jordan, having to stand outside the curtains of the king's chamber or his throne room, and you're going to have to part the waters and part the curtains and walk in yourself and believe God and do what God said because God said to do it, period. That's the only reason. And if you don't now start stirring up the gift of God that is in you, and by exercising faith every day, smaller things at the beginning, greater things, and then here I am. What am I doing here? Standing in this pulpit, looking into that camera and telling you this is what you need to do. Who am I to say that? Well, dear soul, if there's no faith in me, it will not resound to you. So we see that Peter is saying that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Remember what they said, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, yes, there's going to come some terrible times. I want to stir up your minds by remembering the things that the apostles and the prophets have said, thousands of years of history, 66 books of scriptures that are blessed to you, 66 books by so many different authors from so many different walks of life, some of them highly educated, some of them just shepherds and sycamore fruit pickers, whatever that is. And dear soul, it's all laid out for you. God has gone to a great extent to bring to you the scriptures of the apostles and the prophets and asking you to do one thing. What? Believe them. And grow thereby and strengthen yourself thereby, because this, know this first. Verse 3. I know you know the scriptures. I know you know the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. And I know you know this. There shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. They are willingly ignorant of the Word of God. And they're so, it's not popular today to be a Christian. Now there are, I don't know how many times more religionists in our world than there are true Christians. The religionists have to have a broad way. There's so many of them, but the true Christians have a narrow way. And so their soul, it's popular to be vulgar, to be an unbeliever, to mock God, to offer smirking words about Jesus Christ. And his name is used as a curse word. It's unbelievable. And, you know, the further we go with all this, the more the American public are taught that God doesn't exist. It's the force that shall keep you, Obi-Wan Kenobi. There ain't no such thing as the force. It's the person of God Almighty that we trust in. But the world scoffs at that and mocks at that. Knowing this first, I know what a day we live in, but it's up to us to be faithful in our day and age, because faith doesn't fail. It will accomplish and abound in every situation of which it is placed. Whether it is like the hyssop that grows out of the crack in the wall, little bit of shrub, little stubby shrub, or the great cedar of Lebanon growing in the rich soils, faith growing in the rich soils of Lebanon that caused it to grow and to be a mighty tree. This old faith is faith, and it will exist, it will overcome. And your faith, even though it may be in a day of adversity, a day of disease, a day of scoffers, a day of mockers, a day when other people's opinions will persuade you and lure you to do like the Apostle Peter did. He finally cursed the Lord Jesus Christ because they kept after him and said, "We know you're one of them Nazarenes." The only difference between Peter and Judas was that Jesus never took his eyes off Peter. And he prayed for him, that thy faith fail thee not. Dear soul, you need to make sure you keep a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one in a day of adversity like we're living in today, a day of vulgarity, a day of monumental liars, that can keep you faithful. And you may have to go out and weep bitterly because you have been led aside and drawn aside by the vulgarities of the society that you've been placed in. But you better hope and pray to God that Jesus Christ doesn't take his eyes off you, and that he'll pray for you that your faith fail you not. That your what fail you not? Your faith fail you. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. The book of Romans, chapter 14. The book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 22. Hast thou faith? That's the first part of it. Do you have faith? Are you even interested in what I'm saying? Is any of this resounding to your soul? Is it challenging you? Do you want to know more about this? Hast thou faith? Second thing, have it to thyself before God. That's Romans 14:22. And dear soul, that's the only way faith works. It is a personal faith in a personal God, period. I know that it talks about the household of faith. Glad that there is the true church. But the only reason they are a household of faith is because every individual within the church, the household, each individual has faith before God. And you say, well, how much faith am I supposed to have? It's not the quantity of faith, it's the quality of faith. If you have faith but only as the grain of mustard seed, just a teeny tiny little mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be. Do you have mountains of obstruction in your life? Temptations and sins and lustful thoughts and mean and cruel and unkind people. Do you have all those things in your life? Just one little grain of mustard seed, you can remove that whole mountain. You're going to have patience. It's not a magical formula. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before the Lord. Every time the devil comes to you and says, what if? You're going to have to stand against him with your shield of what? Shield of faith. And quench those fiery darts of the wicked. Those fiery darts, those fiery thoughts that get into your mind and buckle you to your knees. And when they say, God ain't going to do that for you, and it just destroys you, you're going to have to start all over again, and you're going to have to conquer yourself again by faith as a grain of mustard seed. God doesn't require much faith. He requires true faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. Talking about eating meat offered to idols. Some of them say, boy, you better not eat that. God sends you to hell if you eat that meat that was sacrificed to those heathen idols. The other person over here saying, mama, look what I found. This big old roast on sale. And boy, I'm telling you what, you're going to try to buy some meat today, you're going to find out how expensive it is. And if you can find any reduced meat, if it laid on the belly of a Buddha, it ain't going to bother nothing. It ain't going to hurt that meat. And you bring it home and she fixes it. And you say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Happy is the man that condemneth not in the thing which he allows. I'm going to eat this steak. Lord willing, we're going to bow our heads and my family's going to feed off of this. You're a happy man. And there's no condemnation in this. Why? Because I have faith in God. It's this piece of meat is not evil in itself. But here's a brother down the street said, I can't buy that meat. It's been offered to an idol. He said, you don't have the faith I got. And so you don't throw that meat in his face, that is the subject of the meat in his face, and tempt him or hurt his walk with God. So, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat. What's the difference between eating the meat offered to idols and not being happy and being damned? Faith, or the lack thereof. Dear soul, there's given to every man who is born again, every human being, a degree of faith, a measure of faith. Jesus Christ does not have faith by measure. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But they've been given you a degree of faith. Some have twofold, some three, some five. You just need to walk in the faith you're given. And if your faith does not allow that, then stay out of it. But if your faith does allow and you can be happy and contented without any condemnation, then thanks be to God for his faith. The Apostle Paul had such faith. He said, I am all things to all men. What does that mean? To the Jew, I become as a Jew. Timothy, you got to be circumcised. I can't be carrying you around knowing that your father's a Gentile without you being circumcised, because these Jews won't allow it. But we can go in and out among others, and it won't bother me a bit that you're not circumcised. I'm happy because I don't doubt that you are circumcised by the Holy Spirit, the operation of God the Bible speaks of. So, dear soul, happy is the man that's not condemned. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The ramifications of faith are extensive. You're going to have to get involved with being happy without condemnation in order to have your faith presented before God. Hast thou faith? Are you sure? Are you going to trust God in it? Then happy are you in whatever thing that you don't doubt, in the thing which he alloweth. Here's a man over here eating that meat that was offered to idols, bowing his head and saying a blessing in the presence of his family, and asking God to bless it. But here's a man over here, he's saying, man, I can't eat that. That's been offered to idols. He can't not only not bless it, but he can't even buy it. Why? Condemnation. What does that come from? He hasn't developed in faith to the point that the other man had. Paul said, I become all things to all men. He said, I thank God for being able to abound and have everything I need, or to be abased, be in prison, be in here shivering and asking them to bring me my cloak that I left at a place where I preached. Dear soul, that faith is the amazing entrance into the pleasure of God. Let me read this. Let me finish this, and I want to read you something in Matthew chapter 8. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God, Romans 14:22. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you don't have the faith, you better stay out of it. That brings up so many arguments, and people can throw rocks at me just for reading these verses. And say, he said you can do anything you want to as long as you have faith. Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. But I'm not saying it. The Word of God is saying it. But see, there's those who don't understand it. They haven't developed in the, not only the doctrine of faith, the definition of faith, but also in the duty of faith, walking in faith. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse number 5, Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. What is that? It's a Roman soldier who is an officer in charge of 100 soldiers under him, beseeching him. Gentile man now, wasn't a Jew, wasn't allowed inside the temple. He's coming to Jesus. Dear soul, you may not be allowed in a lot of religion today, thank God, but you can come straight to Jesus. That's what you need to do by this message today. Stir up the gift of God. He is the author of faith. He's the finisher of faith. He will see it all the way through to the end. Listen. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Well, you can see by this, he was a man of compassion. And a lot of those people back in those days that had slaves and had servants, if they got sick, they just threw them out. Can't help me. You can't do for me. You can't do what I want you to do. I don't need you. This man says, my servant is sick, and I'm going to get him some help. God already was working in this man's heart. Usually people who have status in life are obnoxious, opinionated, and self-centered, and don't care for anybody else. This is a very unusual man. And Jesus said unto him, this amazes me because the Lord already knew what was going to happen. And he says to the centurion, I will come and heal him. Okay, I'll come to your house. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, isn't that precious? That's the second time he's called him Lord. Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I don't want to tempt you by coming into the house and under the roof of a Gentile. That gets you in a lot of trouble with these Jews around here. But I want you to know something. You don't have to come to my house. You just speak the word. Now, how in the world did this centurion know this? You need to open your mind and understand. He may not have had a Bible. Bibles were very rare back then. It took that rich Ethiopian eunuch to be able to have one writing, one copy of the book of Isaiah. That's all he had. But that was enough. Listen, how did he know? Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. The man said, I know, Jesus, that you are Lord, and I know it because I've seen in you the authority of the God who is in charge. And the way it's been revealed to me, one day I was saying to this soldier, do this, and to another, do that, to my servant, do this, and he did it. And I began to say, wait a minute. That opened up to me, and the Holy Spirit made that man know that that's the authority that God had. The man was quickened and made alive by knowing Jesus Christ through the authority that was given him in the Roman army. Romans 1:20, it says, the invisible things of God are made clearly known by the things that are made, are clearly revealed by the things that are made. And this man came to know the Lordship of Jesus Christ, calls him Lord twice, by understanding and seeing the authority that was in the Roman army, in the hierarchy. Now listen, you say, oh, well, that ain't the way it was. Stick with me. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. What makes God marvel? Can you make God marvel? Can you say, Lord, I believe, and Jesus says, wow, that's amazing. Listen, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he says to them that followed, all those Jews that stood around him, truly I say unto you, I have not found, be careful, so great faith. No, not in Israel. Here's a Gentile. Is that you? It is me. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. And they're so, how can I please God? We are sons of Abraham, but Abraham was not a Jew. He was from the Ur of the Chaldeans. He was a Gentile. Dear soul, listen. What makes God marvel, quote, so great faith, unquote? Can you picture it? Now, we don't see this on our, greeting cards at Christmas. You know, we see the baby in a manger. And we don't see it in the artwork of religion. We see Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head and blood running down. What I'd like to see, not really, because we should not make images of things in heaven or on earth, God said in the commandments in Exodus 20. But why don't we ever picture the meek and lowly Jesus standing in front of this Roman centurion with all his armor on? And, you know, they had those helmets with the mohawk haircuts on top of them. I don't know how to describe it. Anyhow, mighty looking men, strong men, all decked out in Caesar's costume or what you want, military garb. And here's Jesus standing in front of him. And Jesus says, this is the greatest faith I've ever seen. God can see your faith. And he ain't looking in the church house for it. He's looking in your heart. Listen, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many like this guy right here is going to come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, that is the Israelites, shall be cast into outer darkness. Why? Because they don't have faith. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So now Jesus turns back to the centurion in verse 13, says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. He didn't say, well, now I got to instruct you. You got to start, you know, being circumcised. You can't eat pork, and you got all these rules and regulations. Faith will have God tell you, go thy way. Well, there he is preaching all that libertarian stuff again. We can just do anything we want to. No, you can't. Not unless you got a new want to. This man had faith that made God marvel, so you're not going to find him doing anything that's contrary to the revelation of God's doctrine and scriptures. So Jesus could tell him, go thy way. Amazing. This is the victory. Have you heard this yet? That overcometh the world, even our faith. Go thy way. But he didn't come up under Gamaliel. He wasn't under the teachings of the rabbis. Don't tell me what he wasn't. Let me tell you what he was. He was a man of faith that made God marvel. You can be that. Stir up the gift that is in thee by the Holy Ghost. You can make God marvel. Quit running to every Tom, Dick, and Harry and just say, listen, Lord, in this particular trial, in this particular heartache, in this particular need, I personally am coming to thee personally, and if I don't get it, it's because it wasn't your will. If I do get it, it will be because you have given me faith to believe that you will give it to me, and that you have inspired faith that honors you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you pleasing God, or are you just practicing religion?
Well, I got a hangnail. I got an ingrowing toenail. Let me call the preacher.
That's silly, Brother Gene. You're oversimplifying it. No, I'm trying to make a point. Stir up the gift that is in thee. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of faith. Let me ask you this. If today is the last day you have on earth, a day of the viruses, who is going to be with you when you breathe that last breath? Well, we already had notices from funeral homes. We can't have any more than 10 come to funerals and things like that. But that's not what I'm asking. Let me ask you this. Who is going to be with you the second after you draw that last breath? That's who you need to please. Dear soul, it's good to have families gather around the deathbed of the old grandmother, singing psalms and praying prayers out loud and letting her hear them and helping her cross over, as they used to say. But dear soul, that person laying in that bed, what are they thinking when that last breath is drawn? Who is going to be with them then? That's who we need to have faith in. And that's who needs to approve our faith. And that's what we need to do to come outside of organized religion and come to Christ. I'm going to read that verse in a minute, but let me read you Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God's true elect, born again children of God, coming out of harlot religion. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18, 4 and 5. God may have gotten us physically out of houses of religion. Some of us. Some are just going on as if there was nothing to it. But dear soul, those who are not only being brought out of houses of religion, but are being brought out of the harlotry of the houses of religion, they are the ones that are being blessed and being made to stir up the gift that is in them and to prepare themselves for the day when they see their husband for the last time, they see their son for the last time, they see their wife for the last time. They draw the last breath in those lungs. The body is not going to go with them. How are you going? Who are you when you don't have a body? What is your spiritual man? Isn't that what we're talking about? The spiritual man should stir up the gift that's in him. You take good care of your physical man. You make sure that he's bathed and he's fed and he's clothed and he's healthy. You take his teeth to the dentist and you take his body to the doctors and you make sure that, you know, that you go and have bodily exercise. It profiteth some, not much, profiteth little. It's the spiritual exercising that we need. That's what this message is about. Stir up in that spiritual man that which is the gift of God that will stand in the presence of Almighty God. Did you have you had anybody in your family to die? Yep. Did you follow that hearse to the graveyard? Yep, cemetery, okay. Memorial Gardens, whatever. Did you see them lower that casket down into the ground? Yes. Did you stick around while they threw the dirt on it? Yep. Who was that in that casket? You say, that was my grandmother. Really? Then, is she a Christian? You say, sure she was. Then, who is it and what is it that's in heaven? I stood at the end of a casket of a godly woman that we had the privilege of pastoring for over 40 years. And I saw her 90-something-year-old husband come up to the casket and lean over and kiss her on the head. And that wasn't just a moving thing of continued romance. I thought about it. That's not her, sir. That's the shell. That's the outer covering. That's the peel, but the banana's in heaven. She's in heaven, no teeth, no mouth, no eyes, no fingers, no toes, no stomach, no digestive tract, no head, no brain. What is that that's in heaven? It's her spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's who I'm talking to today. Not you with the fingers and toes and the eyes and the nose, but I'm talking to that spiritual person inside of you. Stir up that gift that's in that spirit. Jesus said, go thy way, Matthew 8:13. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Your life will be determined by the degree of your faith that is exercised towards God. Don't come to my house, Lord. I'm unworthy. Just say the word. My servant shall be healed. God marvels. Have you made God marvel? Well, you know, I stood up there in the Christmas cantata and I sang my song and I quoted my poem and I, you know, stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum and said, oh, what a good boy am I. Did God marvel? I doubt it. What made God marvel? Faith. So great faith. What was the centurion able to do? Go back to his lifestyle in the Roman army. Go back. God didn't say, you're going to have to get out of that army. You're going to have to get out of that Roman, controlled society. Go thy way. Thy servant is made whole. What about that guy over there that's eating that piece of meat that was offered to idols? Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. There is therefore now no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. I wonder, and I want to leave with this, I wonder if condemnation directs in and steers you more in your religion than your salvation does. Well, we don't do this, we don't do that, really. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thy faith has made thee whole. Arise, take up thy bed and walk. Go thy way, thy servant is healed. I sent a word. Did you hear it? Nobody heard it. God marveled, sent a word, spiritual word, and the man, the servant, raised up in the same hour. And he said, Mr. Centurion, my dear child of God, out of every kindred and people and nation and tongue, I'm going to bring them. You're going to be surprised at the diversity of redeemed in eternal glory. God's going to bring them from everywhere. And he chooses the foolish things, the base things, and the things which are not. And what is the one common denominator that puts all that together? Faith. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Continue to pray for me as I pray for you. Amen.